In part two of this interview with Robert Bell, the executive director of the Intelligent Community Forum, we'll hear more about the global broadband economy, but from the perspective of some specific groups and regions. For example, will the move to a broadband economy increase the digital divide? What opportunities and challenges does a region such as the Great Lakes face, in particular Northeast Ohio and Cleveland? And what can be done when the broadband economy can make geography irrelevant? As Robert Bell says, nobody needs to come here and nobody needs to stay. Listen up.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
Some might say that the whole movement toward a broadband economy will actually increase the digital divide. You've got the old-time manufacturers in a region like Cleveland who just don't seem likely to suddenly adopt this knowledge-based workforce. And you've got people who, on the surface, will benefit from this broadband economy are the people who already have some knowledge and expertise and commitment to white-collar, high-tech industry. How do you address that?
Well, to your first point, I think it's, in terms of business, it gets real easy. You're going to adapt or you're going to die. That's the glory of the free market is there's such pressure on you. You'll figure it out or you'll have to be working for somebody else. But the key issue, the bigger issue, is the one of the individuals who develop a lifetime of skill or, you know, some years of skill at doing something that's no longer in demand. What do we do about them? And I think the answering that question correctly is probably the single most important challenge facing intelligent communities. At the end of the day, networks are fairly easy, although they can seem incredibly hard. Figuring out how to, you know, make your companies more innovative is difficult, but can be done. You know, we figured out e-government. We know we can figure out how to make government more efficient. But trying to take people who are outside of the mainstream now, and absolutely, I couldn't agree with your premise more, that there will be a deepening of inequality, a deepening of exclusion, unless we set the right policies in place. Because if you think about the barriers to communities that are, or sectors of our community that are already on the outside, ranging from poor education to prejudices against them for various reasons, to poor housing, the whole set of traps that comes to you if you're raised poor, plus questionable literacy and so forth. Now you say, well, the only way you can really compete is by having high-level skills. Where are you going to go? So we, as the community leaders, really have got a responsibility all across the world, and they're rising to it. There's so many experiments going on worldwide. How do we do this? How do we deliver education? How do we craft that education so it makes sense to people who don't quite understand why they should be involved? To me, this is the job that has to be done. I think, by the way, this area is a great... Perhaps this isn't as feeling as it should be. I find this a great laboratory for this because you've got all the conditions here to advance, but you've also got all the dangers of not advancing.
You know, this is you're talking about revolutionary societal changes, some really dramatic things that encompass so many areas of life. And obviously this can't be something that's employed in just a sandbox. It's got to have a public and private backing. It's got to have the institutions and the hospitals and the schools and all that. How does it move beyond, say, in the Northeast Ohio region, one community, into getting the involvement of the politicians and the institutions and the buy-in from the people? Because if the people don't accept it and take on those opportunities, it doesn't happen.
I agree with you. I think that the answer is that success has 1,000 fathers. One of the things that we admire about one community and that we think they've done right, and I think the reason they're on the list is because they realized rather than going out and waving a flag and making speeches, what they needed to do was to produce some success on the ground. And so they've worked with a set of institutional partners in one city, Cleveland, delivered a value to them, and in the process created a new asset, this broadband network that didn't exist before. And then on the strength of that, they've been able to attract new partners into it. They've now been able to obtain funding from the federal government to enable an extension of that network into the rest of the region. And now, you know, guess what? folks in government and folks in business are noticing, wow, there's this new player here, there's this new capability. And so it's a question of stacking up a set of victories, and then you find that people start paying attention. And again, I've been fascinated by my interviews today with members of the press. The story still is unknown, you know, and it's happening underneath. But there will come a tipping point when all of a sudden people start talking about, oh wow, did you know about whatever it is? Did you know, boy, the health system here is better than it is anyplace else because of various IT applications we've done. Gee whiz, we're a model for the nation. I've heard that term several times from several different players telling me that they've been identified by, you know, an organization as the model for the nation. I'm thinking, cool, wait till that news gets out. So that's, to me, it's good tactics. It's stack up the victories and you'll eventually get to your goal.
You know, historically, cities have been built where there's resources, whether it was a river, a lake, a, you know, nice geography or something. And Cleveland, Northeast Ohio was blessed with this resource of this dark fiber, and people were smart enough to take advantage of it. So let's look at Northeast Ohio here. What's good about the region's efforts with One Community, and what challenges and maybe some negatives that we face in particular?
I think the biggest negative you face is just taking a lot of blows to the head. There's a legacy here of a feeling of failure. It's been going on a while. We didn't see it, but it really started in the 50s, right? When everything, times were, looked great, but it was starting then. So you're talking about a half a century. I think it's the attitudes of the people, it goes inside their heads, that's the single biggest obstacle that you face here. Because yes, you are blessed with certain natural locational advantages. We like to say that in what we call the broadband economy, this world where broadband is becoming the new route of commerce, it doesn't matter where you are. And that's true in some cases. You're finding that you can be a community in the middle of nowhere, and if you're smart enough, if you're savvy enough, and you've got the right connectivity, you can compete globally. But it doesn't hurt having a good location. And so the fact that you're on the lake, and there is, you know, tremendous pressure on the ports on the east and west coast of the United States, and there's this interesting thing called the St. Lawrence Seaway, maybe we can, you know, find a way to turn that ancient advantage, well, it seems ancient now, of location into something very positive. Yeah, the fiber was a great example. You know, where was fiber laid? It was laid on highways and rail lines, and guess what you had in abundance back then, you know, and still do, highways and rail lines. That was a happy accident that all this fiber was laid. So it's the attitudes in people's heads, I think, are your number one obstacle, and I think that the future, when that obstacle begins to be overturned, there's a whole future for you based upon your strategic location in addition to the other things that you're building.
And not to scare people, but maybe provide a little wake-up call, what happens if a region like Cleveland, you know, built a manufacturing and had some down days and all, if we don't embrace the opportunities that are out there with the global broadband economy?
Well,
when does it all blow up?
Well, it doesn't all blow up. It's the old story of, well, the last one out, please turn off the lights. America right now, you know, 80% of the population of the United States lives within 50 miles of one of the oceans. 80% of the population of Canada lives within 100 miles of the border of the United States. There's no particular reason anymore that people have to be in a place. And communities, I'll give you an example. A lot of our research is based on a pioneering thing we did back in 2001, in which we identified five intelligent community indicators, we call them. And one of them surprised us, which was marketing. Communities need to be good marketers, and this is why. Nobody needs to come to you, and nobody needs to stay. We stay for reasons of the heart, if you will. And those are very important, but if the pain gets bad enough, we're going to leave. And so, what's the future if you don't invest? What's the future if you don't change? Well, it's the future of everybody who doesn't change. How many buggy whip manufacturers are there left?
And finally, this is really quite an honor for the city to be named one of the seven intelligent communities up for that award, and for One Community, Scott Rourke in particular, to be named Intelligent Community Visionary of the Year. Can you tell us a little why Scott and One Community and Cleveland were awarded this?
Well, let's start with Scott. We've been doing a Visionary of the Year award every year since, I think, 2002. And people have won it like the Minister of Communications of the Nation of Afghanistan, of all places, though. Afghanistan certainly has its challenges. This fellow was responsible for bringing in a modern communications network that made it possible to make a cell phone call in Afghanistan and to connect all the government offices and to bring, you know, connect it to the rest of the planet. And it made possible the first democratic election. We've given it to the communications minister of Mexico, who got a program. He's responsible for a program that he today, I think, has connected 6,000 Mexican schools to the internet via satellite. And so bringing to these, you know, rural villages things they'd never seen before. Scott was selected on two different fronts. One was, frankly, just for the incredible record of performance that one community has had. We first saw one community back in 2006 when Cleveland was one of our top seven intelligent communities. And what the one community had was a great vision, some very smart strategies, and the start of performance against those strategies, the start of accomplishments. 2 years later, we look back, and the accomplishments are starting to enter the newspapers now. We're getting major contract awards, we're building networks, we're doing all the things that they set out to do. So that's one half of it, and that's very much worth saluting, but the thing that we really honor is that Scott, in particular, has not kept the knowledge to himself. We're all about sharing knowledge. So Scott has actually, and his team, have gone out to communities in the United States and overseas and said, this is how we did it. Here's the problems we saw. Here's how we solved those problems. Maybe there's something here for you to learn. And that exemplifies what ICF stands for. So he was an easy choice this year. He was a very easy choice. In terms of the Northeast Ohio region, wow. We have a process that we've evolved over the last several years that's fairly complicated. It involves forcing these communities to fill out a pretty lengthy questionnaire, and we do a lot of scoring against it. And then the top scores end up in our top seven. The key factors that leap out from that are, if I can find my cheat sheet to help me out, the community's solution to that insoluble problem of connectivity. You know, we found a way around the regulatory issues. The concentration on, it's not just about being wired, but it's about what are we going to do with the network. So we tend to honor communities that do several things all at the same time. So they build a network, but they build a network, and they, in the course of doing that, they lower the cost of doing business in their community. They find new ways to bring in new business to that network, and then they also turn it into an educational tool so that they begin creating new knowledge workers, and they generate on that foundation a hotbed of innovation. And all those things are happening. Again, I think they're not visible to the people who live here yet, but all those things are happening right here in Northeast Ohio. And we're going to be proud in 10 years to be able to say, we told you so.
Well, that's great. Today we've been speaking with Robert Bell, the Executive Director of the Intelligent Community Forum. Thanks, Robert.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.